For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Why should anybody aspire to be a common man, an average man? Do you realize what it means to be average? That means you're the best of the lousiest, and the lousiest of the best. Now, if we demand more and more for producing less and less, while the have-not nations encourage and inspire and indeed require hard work and maximum effort, if we deify the common men while they encourage and reward the uncommon ones, well, the end result of such a lopsided race as that is too obvious to require elaboration.
Baby.
Objects in your mirror may be closer than they appear.
Who?
It's the Common Man Fulcrum coming down in five. Well, actually three, but five sounds like more than four. Two, one. Greetings, good afternoon, and ack-ack-a-dack. Dak, dak, act to you and yours. I'm the Common Man, Dan Cole, and this is the worst all-sports radio station in the country. So says a former employee who, funny, was fired from here. I'm a radio dinosaur. This is my La Brea Tar Pit. Not brothers, I hope. I hope it doesn't all come to an end today, where someday paleontologists and archaeologists will be sifting through the rubble that will be Brothers Bar and Grill, and they'll stumble across the skeletal remains of the Common Man with his cold, dead, rigor mortis-laden lips attached to this. This is just a cheap-ass microphone, just in case you didn't know. This is not a Neumann BCM 104. I'm embarrassed to even be broadcasting on it. But we don't let the best stuff out of the studio because we don't trust the rubes. If you took one of those and you took a that BCM is worth hundreds.
Hundreds?
Hundreds of dollars. You could probably trade it for a pair of tickets to the Twins game. Ha-ha, we have that solved. We are giving away not one but two pairs of tickets to the Twins game today. Yes, we do. From me, we hadn't planned to give them away, but when I left the house today to come here to Brothers, I went out to my car, my driver's side window was broken, and there were two pairs of Twins tickets sitting on my dashboard. No, well, they were. And instead of using them myself, because they're delivering a boiling hot mat of asphalt to my house later today, I'm giving them away to four lucky people four, actually yeah. two, but $5,000 more than that because there's four tickets. So we'll give those away a little bit later. Tenneby, tell them how they win those tickets or if they have a chance to
win.
Well,
that's not all we're giving away.
No, that's not.
We are giving away two pairs of tickets.
And there's more.
Today. We're also giving away a year's supply of haircuts to Supercuts. So we're going to.
Supercuts! A year's supply.
Here's how you win. First, you have to show up to Brothers here in downtown Minneapolis. Mm-hmm. Then you need to go to. I don't even know my directions at this point. The north side of the bar?
Let's go with north.
Is this north?
Yeah, let's go with it.
There's a photo booth. You take a picture of yourself in the photo booth. Go on Twitter. Use the hashtag KFANTwins. We'll be giving away two pairs of tickets, as I mentioned, and the year supply of haircuts, the supercuts, to three lucky winners right before 2:30 this afternoon.
We will not be sending the picture.
You need to be here.
We are not sending the picture we take of you to Facebook because we respect your privacy. So don't worry, we're not going to put it on Facebook, but I think we're going to put it on KFAN.com, the fan. And boy, I'm so excited to be here at Brothers. I'm telling you right now, I'm enjoying this visit to Brothers better than any other one we've ever had.
Why is that? Give me $20.
Making it rain. Oh, you know what? The more money you spend on clothes, the better you look, is what the dark man once said. So that's why I enjoy this broadcast much better than any others.
This is the most fun I've had here.
Even though those were enjoyable,
yeah.
I like this one even better, thanks to Dylan. Dylan, thank you very much. We do appreciate that. Sales guy. When I walked into Brothers, Tenneby, I noticed a buzz in the air.
Okay.
And I'm thinking maybe there really truly is some excitement over the Twins. And then I just realized it was our broadcast equipment. This had a hum to it. And so I think we might have to take a look at that, you know, because again, the best equipment is where? In Vegas.
Of course it is,
because it's
yeah.
the morning show, so they have that's where you'll
best
find
best equipment, best engineer.
That's best equipment, best engineer. That's where you'll find the Neumann BCM 104.
Best talent.
Best talent. All the coroner's office
best
cares
drunks.
About is the morning show.
Yeah.
To the point where we really didn't even have anybody to man the ship back at KFAN for our show. Nordo, how much you loving this?
Can't get enough of it, guys.
I figured you thought so.
Nothing I'd rather spend my afternoon doing than hanging out, not talking, staring at an empty studio, and listening to you guys.
Nothing better, is there?
We had to have had a board op for 5:30 to 9 because they're in Vegas. We're going to have a board op because Barrero's out.
Right.
So with Justin Gard yet, we're the show they forgot about.
Well, they have the part-timers working in two-man teams with the Power Trip because I don't know if you knew this. They're in Las Vegas right now.
What?
And that's the only show that matters. So two-man teams on the Power Trip.
Yeah. Two-man teams on the Power Trip. Power Trip. Listen to it. Relive eighth grade every day of your life by listening to the Power Trip. People often ask me when I run into them and they find out that I work with meat sauce, they're just in awe of that, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, so is he as dumb as he really sounds? And I said, well, yeah. I mean, I'll give you an example. Did you know that meat sauce went skydiving last year and he wore swimming trunks and a snorkel? But
you've had a couple new jokes today. I'm pretty proud of you.
I worked that one into the routine at Flop, Sweat, and Tears at the New Hope Cinema Grill. You laughed louder than they did at the New Hope Cinema Grill. They didn't really think that was that funny of a line, but probably the reason was the last time they heard it, they fell off their pet dinosaur. But there's another one for you. So anyway, here we are at Brothers, and I think this has been. We were trying to determine how many. Home openers or / season openers.
Yeah.
This is the season opener for the Twins as well that we've done from Brothers. I get lost. Are you like me? Are you old enough yet? Have you had enough years gone? Say I'm 60, you're 37. Have you had enough years go by in your life where you can't really remember how many years ago it was? You always say, I think it was about 10 years ago. Because I just can't. It could have happened 2 years ago.
So many
but
years
it
you just
like,
forgot my age, but yeah.
Oh, did I?
Yeah.
Did I age you 2 years? Or
Yeah, I'm 39.
Oh, so I took 2 years off
yeah,
for you.
I wish I was 37.
But do you know what I'm saying? Do you have that happening where I lose track? It's like, so I was trying to think of when was the first time we broadcast from Brothers and what I go, it only seems like 5 or 6, but then was it you or somebody suggested?
I think it was the home opener at Target Field.
Right, so
yeah,
it might have been since 2010.
One. I think that's correct.
So this means this could be our 9th broadcast from Brothers. How time flies when you're having fun. And did I mention that this is my favorite Brothers broadcast? we've ever done. I've got a lot of enthusiasm and energy for this. It's really not that hard to figure out, is it? Would you like enthusiastic and happy employees? Well, it's really simple. Just dangle a little cheese in front of them, and they get very excited.
Well, not to mention, if you're having fun, then the listeners are having fun. And what's the key to making you have fun?
No money, no fun is what I've always said. No money, no money. How many people are having fun? Yeah, they're all having fun because you're having fun and I'm having fun, and there's nothing like fun. So here's the situation.
Yeah.
It never varies year to year at Brothers for us, as far as we would generally go solo, you and I, until 1. Rosen would come in and do the 1 o'clock hour rather than the 2 o'clock hour because he's got to lean up against the batting cage and let everybody in the stands see that he's allowed on the field and that he's pals with Joe Mauer and all the rest of the Twins. And then Lil B would
I'm disappointed he's not here, because this would have been the year to just – because he would have had no excuse not to do 2 to 3 if he would have been here this time, because he's not doing television anymore. That was always
– oh, that's right.
His excuse was, I got to do stuff for television over there.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
But now he doesn't have that excuse. You know, next year he'll still do 1 to 2.
He will still do 1 to 2 if there is a next year. Remember, the coroner's office think this show is dead and buried. So – and then Lil B would always drop by, and then we would have to tap dance for the last hour. However, that has been changed. With Rosie sacrificing a chance to work with us for the good of the station, he didn't want to go to Las Vegas. He doesn't like Las Vegas.
It's okay.
He went to Las Vegas. So you and I till 12:30, and then I am just delighted to be joined by Gleeman and the Geek.
Yes.
They do, what's the Twins show on Sunday is called?
Twins Weekly.
Twins Weekly. And they've been doing that for I don't know how many years on The Fan. And I'm not just making this up because they're coming on with me. One time I left the state fair after I was spinning hot stacks of wax from the top of the racks on a Sunday afternoon.
Because you work on Sundays.
Cool 108, because I work on Sundays. I tune into the Fan, and I hear, the first time I'd ever heard Gleeman and the Geek, I thought it was like one of those national Fox Sports shows.
Sure.
I mean, they were smooth. They were witty. They were informed. Everything that I'm not. And I thought, this sounds really good. And then I find out it's a local show. So they know their stuff.
They
know baseball. They know Twins. They know broadcasting. And I'm looking forward to – remember the Twins used to have – the Twins – by the way, I had to – Pat Royce and I text and talk more than most people know. The esteemed columnist, Fish Wrap Factory, Westside. I actually texted him for the first time in my life today. Because two things. He was recently inducted into the – Minnesota Broadcasters Hall of Fame.
Well-deserving.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
And his column today, I don't know if you had a chance to read it. It was absolutely brilliant, and I needed to tell him that. And one of the – what he basically said, why this year is better than most years for the Twins, because this was the year they finally decided not to do a slogan, right? Because
they don't have a slogan?
They don't have a slogan this year. Well, because they realized how embarrassing it was to say, this is how we baseball – and then, you mean you only win 78 games.
Yeah.
It was embarrassing.
Yeah.
So no slogan this year, which is nice, but one of them was always get to know them. That was the one back in the Calvin Griffith days, I think. That's how far along ago that was. It was because they were using dirt sheet players. That's funny how things never change.
Well, they did that. They used that in the early 2000s, too.
Yeah. So they get to know them, So they did, like, because they were using players that were young, that didn't have a lot of experience, and no one knew who they were. In other words, they were paying players on the cheap, which really hasn't changed much over the years. But so I'm going to enjoy getting to know a little bit about Gleeman and the Geek. So here we are
for an
hour. They'll be here from 12:30 to 1:30, and then Lil B will be in for a half hour, and then we'll be going back to our tap dancing. At 2:30 is when we'll do all three giveaways.
Yeah, I'd say going into the 2:30 break.
Going into the 2:30 break. So, again, if you would like a chance to upgrade your Twins tickets, or let's say you don't even have Twins tickets because it's sold out, you want to take a chance, as ABBA once said, ABBA, ABBA, stop by here, get that photograph taken for our Facebook page or our
Twitter,
our program page, Twitter, whatever it is. What is it, Twitter?
Yeah, you just have to go on Twitter, take the photo booth, and then use the hashtag KFAN Twins.
Okay. We'll give away not one, but two pairs of tickets to the Twins, plus haircuts for a year from Supercuts.
Yes.
Those three giveaways are all going to take place at 2:30. You must be present to win. So you can't, qualify with your picture on Twitter and then leave and expect to win. You must be here. We'll break. We'll come back. We're broadcasting live from Brothers Bar and Grill. Stop by and see us right across from the Loon. We're on North
5th and 5th Street.
Yep. First Avenue and 5th Street. Stop on by and see us. We're back after this here on the
2 on the Fan.
I say, come on over, baby. Baby, you can't go wrong. We ain't faking. Oh, a lot of shaking going on. Well, I say, come on over, baby. We got chicken in the corner.
Brothers downtown Minneapolis on 1st and 5th, right?
Yeah,
1st and 5th. You can hop right. You can look, there it is. There's the green line right there. You just jump off the Metro Transit green line, hop on out, verbally slap us on the back. Slap us on the back with one hand, and then pick our pockets with the other if you want. And then head on over to the Twins game. They season opener and home opener scheduled for a 3:10 first pitch today. We're here until 3, joined by Gleeman and the Geek. I always want to say Gleeman and the Gleek because it's that alliteration thing that I
have. Or Gleeman and the Greek?
Yeah, the Greek.
Yeah.
The Greek Freak. Maybe I should start calling him the Geek Freak. Maybe that's what we'll call him.
I saw something on Twitter this morning regarding the Greek Freak that I absolutely loved about it. It was a 1-minute video. It basically... He was being interviewed by somebody who was saying, you know, in today's NBA, all the superstars are all kind of buddies with each other on opposing teams. How come you kind of say to yourself, and he goes, was Kobe Bryant friends with anybody?
Right.
Was Kevin Garnett with friends with anybody?
Yeah.
Was Michael Jordan friends with anybody? Yeah. I love that. He's now my favorite basketball player.
Yeah. So now
he's not trying to become buddies with everybody. He wants to win.
So now your favorite hoops team is Milwaukee. Your favorite baseball team is the San Diego Super Padres.
Yep.
And, still sticking with that Wild club, are you?
it got worse for them last night because Colorado won.
Did they? Yeah. Well,
so the Wild are 4 points back with 5 games. They got to win them all.
You
have a chance.
You texted me. You shared with me via text message. We text and talk more than most people know. A story from something called The Athletic. What is The Athletic?
The what?
The Athletic.
I'm not sure what that is.
I'm not either, but you found something from The Athletic, and it was entitled... Going out on a limb with 10 bold predictions for the 2019 Major League Baseball season, done by Eno Saris is the pronunciation I'll go with. It's Saris or Saris.
I'm not even sure it's Eno. But
I would think it's Eno.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I'm going to go with that. I don't think it's Eno.
Could be.
It could be.
Eno.
It could be Eno. I'm going to go with Eno.
Eno.
One of the 10 things he had to do with the Minnesota Twins.
Yes, the starting rotation.
Exactly. Here's what it said. The Twins' rotation will sport a top 10 velocity. I would like to be in top 10 in wins, but if velocity leads to wins, that's great. But what it says, over the last 10 years, only the Giants and Blue Jays' rotations have had a lower aggregate velocity. So this would be a huge step forward in Minnesota. Here's what Eno says.
Okay.
That the Twins' velocity has been improved, at least in spring training. He says, the trick has been a change in the messaging more than the personnel, because we've only added really a couple of pitchers, right?
Yes.
New pitching coach Wes Johnson has been preaching hip speed and using a simple cue. Try to push off the rubber with the heel instead of the toe to change the aspect of his pitcher's mechanics. Instead of pushing off the rubber on your toe, the heel. Now, let me ask you a question, Tenneby.
Yeah.
When did James Naismith invent baseball? I think it was 1492, the same year that Columbus crossed the seven seas and visited America for the first time. Are you going to tell me it's taken over 600 years for someone to figure out, hey,
You know, if you push off on your heel on the rubber rather than with your toe, your velocity will improve. How did it take that long to figure that out if it is indeed a fact? How does it take that long? And why was Wes Johnson the guy to figure it out? What was it about Wes Johnson that he saw something and said, hey, you'll get more velocity if you wait? Because everybody's been... What's one of the things you hear in every play-by-play baseball game, at least once in a broadcast, you'll say, and today, starting on the mound, toeing the rubber,
heeling the rubber from now on.
Toeing the rubber for the Twins, it's going to be Jose Barrios getting the start. He's the second youngest pitcher to ever have opening day responsibilities for the Twins. He'll be toeing the rubber today. It's always been toeing the rubber. Now, apparently, it's a heel thing, and that's going to change
everything. It's going to change every cliche we've ever used.
Well, not only change the cliches, but it's going to change the direction of the Twins team. Is everybody else in on this secret?
Well, here's the deal. If that's something you know, why are we telling everybody else? Because then everyone else is going to do it too, and they'll catch up to us.
That's what I'm saying. I would have kept it to myself. But think about that. I mean, and again, it's interesting. There are changes to the way most every game is played, right?
Sure.
I mean, a lot of it's just technology. You go to golf, for instance, They had hickory shafted golf clubs and feathery golf balls. Now you got two-piece golf balls that do 13, 14 different things for different swings. You have graphite shafts and kick points. And hockey, I'm sure there's
In hockey, I can tell you from firsthand, the way kids shoot the puck as opposed to even where the way I still shoot the puck is the way I was raised is different just because they were all raised on the technology of the sticks they have now where you don't have to put as much effort into it, so it's more about quick release. Whereas if we wanted a little bit more velocity, we had to roll that thing all the way up the blade. So it's just the way they shoot the puck is different.
And what I was talking about with golf, what you're talking about for hockey, is technological changes. This isn't a technological thing. This is just a different way to approach it. And I'm not even sure that, just because Eno writes it and Wes Johnson disciples it, I'm not willing to automatically think, well, that's it. Those, 1 + 1 = 2, but maybe it is. Maybe it's as simple as that, and maybe, for instance, is it the Fosbury flop or the Flosbury flop? Have you ever heard of that?
I haven't heard of that.
That was the guy, what is it, what's the jump you do? Not the pole vault, but is it a high jump?
Long jump or high jump?
High jump where they have a vertical bar, horizontal bar, and then you run up to it, you jump over it, right?
With your back down to the ground.
He was the one, I think, that came up with a different way to do it and revolutionized
the way
people high jump. He was the guy. I think it was Fosbury. I'm being serious. This is not a bit.
I believe you.
So
it's kind of like what you've done for radio. You were the first one on a sports talk radio station that didn't have to talk all sports all the time.
And then just started and became a gardener, not an architect.
Yeah.
Not everything plotted out. As a matter of fact, that gentleman right there, sipping on a cold one, watching the show, he said, I admired, Common, how you prepped for the show today. You looked at the menu from Brothers. You ordered. You ate your chili, and there you went. And that's how I prepped for the show today. And so it's gardening. You're right. So people have different ways to approach things. And I don't know, but I just find it I find it funny. And maybe even astonishing that instead of towing the rubber, you're heeling the rubber.
Heeling the rubber.
And we'll see if it works for
It's all about hip action.
We'll see if it works for the soon-to-be World Series champion, Minnesota Twins. Stick around for those of you who are fans of Gleeman and the Geek. They join Common Man and Tenby for the next hour live from Brothers. Come and see us. Register for your chance to win. We're giving away two pairs of Twins tickets. I think one is sixth row for sure.
Oh, nice.
That's what I heard. And I'm sure the other pair is probably just as nice, if not better. Plus, we're also giving away haircuts for a year from Supercuts. All that and so much more live from Brothers Common Man program here on The Fan.
The Common Man.
He has an innovative approach. He doesn't feel like he has to do things that only he's seen other people do.
Weekdays at noon on The Fan.
Welcome back to
Miller's Bar and Grill here in downtown Minneapolis as Led Zeppelin brings us back to the show. I'm the Common Man, Dan Cole. He is Tenneby. And for the next hour, I'm just delighted and pleased to be joined by the dynamic duo of Gleeman and the Geek, Aaron Gleeman and John Bonus. They're the hosts of Twins Weekly during the summer Sundays here on The Fan. Gentlemen, thanks for joining me and Tenneby today here on the air. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
We're very excited.
Yeah, nice to have you here. This is going to be sort of a half Barrero conversation, but it's also going to be a Common Man interview because there are a couple of things that I want to get to know about the two of you that I don't know, maybe a lot of the listeners don't. First of all,
right,
how did each of you get, when did you get bit by the baseball bug? Because it's obvious both of you love the grand old game, America's pastime, Major League Baseball. When did it first, when you said, yeah, I like this?
8 years old.
Okay.
1975 or thereabouts, my mom was tired of entertaining me, and so she let Herb Kurnial do it. Turned on the radio one afternoon. I sat there for 3 hours without asking her to play Candyland even once. And so that was it. I was hooked, and from there I started throwing the tennis ball against the garage door and then just kept following baseball throughout the rest of my life.
I think I was also probably 8, because I was 8 in 91 when they won the World Series.
Okay.
And those are like the first games I can remember, really. And I remember, like, sitting there with a notebook and, like, making my own box score because I didn't really know what a box score was.
Right.
So not only was I headed towards being a baseball fan, but headed towards being, like, you know, a nerd baseball fan. And then I think in my little 8-year-old brain, I probably thought, well, this will happen every October. Like, this is great. Everybody, my whole family's all excited. There's parades. And then, I'm still waiting for that.
Well, it's – didn't Dan Marino – wasn't he quoted? Was it his second year he got to the Super Bowl? He said, hey, this is going to happen every year. This is great. And he never got back.
Yeah. Of course.
And maybe the Twins will never get back either. I don't know, in our lifetime. Do you both have your parade route spot saved, though?
I figure we'll do a live show during the parade. Maybe a kind of a
probably
recap.
A Brothers Bar and Grill.
Yeah, probably a Brothers.
Right.
I mean, I'm ready. We have a lot of material saved up over 30 years or whatever. All our championship material. And other, I mean, if it doesn't happen, like, let's be honest, you look at us in front of you right now, life expectancy-wise, it's a race against time. Twins put a roster together to win this thing versus can I eat enough Chinese food to be done? And so it's really like the timetables are just kind of crossing. So I give it, they have about 15 years to win a World Series if they want me at the parade.
Chinese is your favorite ethnic food?
Yes, that's my
go-to.
And
you? See, I'm Mexican.
His favorite ethnic food is beer, pretty much, I would
that's
say.
Probably
from Germany, right?
Yeah, that's all right, yeah.
Yeah, for me, it's Mexican, then it's Mexican, then it's Mexican.
How about Italian?
Italian, too, but my two kids, well, I love Italian, don't get me wrong. That would be my second, a close all second. Right. Mexican, though, I think probably because my kids don't eat it. They don't like it. They're just starting to like it. Right. Most kids love Mexican.
No, it takes a while.
Oh,
No. You got to get them to 10, 12 years old. They got to discover... Starting to eat
too
early
spicy.
On my tacos. Yeah, it's too spicy.
It's not
it falls
enough.
Apart in your hands.
Yeah.
You get to 12 years old or something.
Did either of you play baseball then? I mean, did you like me?
I mean, badly.
Yeah. Well, me too.
Badly until I was like 14.
You were 14. Yeah. I lasted until 7th grade. I played back when I was growing up. Now, I'm 60. When I was growing up, when you tried out for Little League, you had to really try out. I mean, there was only... You know, there were 300-400 kids from Coon Rapids that would show up at Sand Creek Park, and I never made it. I wasn't good enough.
So they were actually cutting people.
Oh, they cut people. You went there, and it was the tryouts where you'd get like 3 fly balls hit to you, 3 grounders, 3 swings, 3 throws, and then you were either there or you weren't. And if you didn't make it, then you played what would, I guess, it'd be minor league, and it was peewees and ponies. That was the cool. The reason you wanted to be in Little League is they gave you full uniforms with stirrups.
Right.
Wanted to wear stirrups so bad.
Because the minor league side, kids are just showing up in jeans,
That's it.
And their parents don't even really want to watch it because it's like, what are we?
They're not even there. It's in the mornings. They're at work. Peewees and Ponies was mornings. Little League was they played in the afternoon so parents could be there. But all you got in Peewees and Ponies was a baseball hat and a matching T-shirt. And the only thing you had to look forward to was what color were you going to get that year. And you either wanted to, you know, we liked black. We also wanted to be red. And sometimes you got yellow.
But did they ever, like, if a kid on the big team struggled,
No.
Did they ever send a kid down and like we got to get
depends on service time.
We got we got to get little Danny Cole up here.
He's only got two options left. I don't know if we want to use it right. Yeah.
And I played seventh. I went out for seventh grade baseball with the whole uniform, right? And we're there during. It's basically I don't know if it's necessarily tryouts, but the coach is trying to decide what position you would play, right? So I'm an outfielder by trade. Got a little Byron Buxton in me, you know. And I'll never forget. And this is
you might have like three or four of them in there.
Well, this is this is the truth of the truth. I'm not making this up. So a fly ball comes out to me, and I get a little bit of a late start, and I make a diving catch. And the coach goes, "Who is that out there?" And I yell out my name. I'm Dan Cole, right? A couple seconds later, another ball comes in. You both know this. If you dog it a little bit on purpose, so I make another diving catch. He didn't ask for a name. I think I sabotaged myself. I think he probably went, "Oh, I see." That first one wasn't a diving catch either. He did it just to try to impress me.
Sure.
Seventh grade was as far as I went. The biggest problem that I had, like every other kid, once you started facing kids that knew how to throw a curveball,
right,
I was done. I had no...
Dunzo.
It was like sleight of hand. It was like facing Mandrake the Magician. How did that ball go there and now it's there?
There are several players on the Twins roster we're going to see today that has held them back. I mean, that's legit.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, if you can, and baseball's going more and more to that, which is teams like the Astros who have been so successful, they're dialing back fastball usage to 40%, 50% instead of two-thirds, and just saying if you get ahead in the count, just throw curveball. They're not going
to
hit it.
Which we did the opposite to Francisco Liriano here.
Yes.
We wanted him to not throw his slider, right, which was his best pitch.
Yeah.
Now, is this something new for the Astros?
Yes. It's a little bit of technology, a little bit of analytics, a little bit of being able to look at breakdowns of, well, what do they hit against your slider on a 1-2 pitch as opposed to a 2-1 pitch or whatever. Whereas 20 years ago, it was, establish your fastball, and then the second time throw your curveball. Now it's like, well, no one's going to hit a home run on most of your curveballs, so feel free to try to, get them tempted into swinging with two strikes. You can maybe get a strikeout if you can throw it into the zone.
It's why the buzzword spin rate has become so popular over the last couple of years, is because people recognize that becomes it's easy to find pitchers out there who have been relying on their fastball but have an overly good curveball that nobody ever really wanted them to throw, but it's a great spin rate. You start using that against batters in a more appropriate manner, and you can turn around a guy in a hurry.
Well, this one's then contrary to what I've been hearing and reading as far as right now. It's either a home run, a strikeout, or a walk. Would this change that then, do you think?
Well, no, that's sort of true. I mean, last year at least, there was more home runs like per at-bat than ever before. There was more strikeouts per at-bat than ever before. And I think part of it is, A, pitchers are throwing, every pitcher out of the bullpen is throwing 96 miles an hour. Whereas, in the 90s, you maybe had one guy on a team who threw like that. So they're just harder to hit. But I think what we were just saying is part of it is that they're much more willing to attack with a curveball or a slider to get a strikeout as opposed to, let me try to get a ground ball here, conserve pitches. Because now no pitcher's going 8 or 9 innings.
Right.
Jack Morris and Burt Blylevin are all upset about that. But if you tell a pitcher you go 5 and fly, they can let it go. They don't have to worry about conserving pitches, trying to pitch to contact, all those horrible buzzwords of Twins days old. And so now you get two strikes on a guy, you just attack. And I think that's why strikeouts are up.
Well, the Twins and hitters have also adjusted their approach over the last 5 years too. There's a lot more just swinging for the fences. It's not seen as a plus, as a benefit, to just get the ball in play anymore. Move the runners along. Get
station to station, is that what they would call
station
it?
Station or
Joe Mauer,
essentially sort of sacrifice yourself to do that. Outs are, in fact, something you really don't want. So, yeah, swing away, hit the ball. Doesn't matter where you hit the ball. Just hit it really hard. Don't worry about the opposite field. Don't worry so much about pulling the ball. Just hit it as hard as you can someplace, and there's a good chance you're going to end up with a good result.
And at least on paper, that's what the Twins are thinking they're going to be able to do this year, because they loaded up on guys that have historically hit 20-plus home runs, right? Cruz.
Scope. C.J. Crone.
And C.J. Crone. Those three guys in particular, right?
Yep. They got a whole bunch of right-handed 25 to 30, or even in Cruz's case, 35, 40 home run guys. None of them draw a ton of walks. They all strike out a decent amount. They're not 300 hitters. They're more 260, 270 hitters. But I think it's exactly what we were talking about. Is like they want it. If there's a first pitch fastball, go ahead and try to hit it out of the park. You're not trying to work a count.
Well, especially so, at Target Field, where right-handed power like that can play. The only place the ball really flies out of this park is right down the left field line. Right, that's why Josh Willingham had a successful run here for a while. Those guys are built for this park in a lot of ways.
So if fans out there have been, I know there's many fans who disliked Maurer's approach at the plate, even when he was winning batting titles.
Right.
Why does he take the first pitch? Why is he trying to hit singles and draw walks? If you were among the people who were screaming at your TV in every Joe Maurer at bat, you're going to love this year's lineup. Because not only have they removed Maurer, or he's removed himself from the lineup, there's no Robbie Grossman who had a similar approach. And all the guys we just mentioned, the four or five names that they brought in, are all guys who are not trying to draw walks. They're see ball, hit ball, try to hit it over the fence. And so it's going to be, I mean, it'll be interesting to watch. It's a completely different approach for the whole lineup.
Do you guys like this approach?
I think so.
Let's see if it works.
Yeah, I mean, if it works, right? Yeah. I mean, ultimately, a good player is a good player. The approach is sort of secondary to that. I mean, Joe Maurer was a good player. Nelson Cruz is a good player. They have very different approaches. So it's not necessarily only one way you can do it. But I do think because of all the stuff we were talking about, because there's never been more homers and there's never been more strikeouts, if you're going to strike out a lot, you might as well make the times you make contact count and try to hit it over the fence. Well, and I'll bet you, I know, like, I think the 65 team has the team record for home runs.
Was it 225?
Over 200. You know, all the Allison, Killebrew, right, all those guys. They're going to clear 200. They might.
The question is if somebody will be on base.
Right.
Ironically, Maurer would be a really nice fit for this lineup. He's left-handed, he gets on base in between all these right-handed sluggers.
I think I read this Fish Wrap Factory West Side the other day, and I think it was specifically the Twins. When they hit one homer a game, their record, they have a winning record. When they don't hit any home runs, they have a bad winning percentage of like 300+. So hitting home runs, I guess, really is the way to win ball games.
It is there's always going to be the old school view of frowning upon that. People want, you know, we get asked, do you think Byron Buxton can steal 50 bases? Well, he can, but do you really want him sliding into second base 50 times, potentially breaking a thumb just to move up one base? And risking out doing so when the guy behind him in the lineup is perfectly capable of just hitting it over the fence and he can trot home from first base. And so as there's more home runs and more scoring, the value of a walk or the value of a stolen base or really the value of a sacrifice bunt to give up an out to move a guy up a base shrinks. Like there's hardly any bunting, especially in the American League at this point. And it's not because they can't do it or they're, you know, the players are unwilling to do it. It's because why give up an out to move a guy from first base to second base if the guy next behind him in the line is just going to hit a homer?
That's interesting. You brought a Buxton. I want to ask more about that. We got a lot of ground to cover here. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back. I know Tanabe has several things he wants to ask you about as well. It's Common and Tanabe. We're at Brothers. We're with Gleeman and the Geek. We're talking baseball. Twins home and season opener at the Goose That Laid the Golden Egg. It's 3:10 start. Stop on by and see us and register for a chance to upgrade your Twins tickets and win from Supercuts haircuts for a year. Back with more after this here on The Fan.
The Common Man.
God, I love your show. It's so funny because you're just effortless.
Weekdays at noon on The Fan.
It's March. Now, I'm sitting here board hopping for The Common Man program right now, but eventually, as in tomorrow from 5 to 7 p.m. when I get out of this studio, I'm going to head up to Jimmy's Food and Drink with KFAN and Coors Light. We're watching all the college hoops action, and I'm going to be at Jimmy's Food and Drink tomorrow, 5 to 7 p.m. You can watch the games and find out how you can win a brand new Oculus Go VR headset. Go to KFAN.com, keyword events.
Captain Nordo, he could have left anytime he wanted to, but he was so excited to hear Gleeman in the Geek on with Tom and Tanabe that he decided he would continue to run the board.
Yes.
For at least an hour, if not more. That's how he wanted to be a part of it. Yeah. And who wouldn't want to be a part of this? We're at Brothers. Make sure to stop by. We've talked about before giving away two pairs of Twins tickets and haircuts for a year from Supercuts. We mentioned Byron Buxton. At one time, the most highly regarded prospect in all of baseball. Sano right up there as well. Neither have reached the hype that they both received. Whether they do or not remains to be seen.
Why is it, though, that baseball, it's so much basketball and football, you get drafted, you can right. start immediately and play. It seems in baseball you rarely see some kid, whether it's high school or college, come out and play. What's taken these two guys so long? I guess that's the question that can't be answered, right?
Yeah, I mean, you're right that they've been in the majors several seasons apiece now, but they actually reached the majors pretty quickly. And I think there's an argument to be made, especially with Buxton, that he maybe was pushed to the majors initially a little too quickly. But what you said about like draft picks and prospects in general is definitely true. I mean, there's been only a handful of even college players that get to the majors immediately or even within a month or two over the last two decades, whereas, you know, every guy in college and for football and basketball. But I think part of it is college baseball in itself is not really viewed as the same as football or basketball. College baseball is kind of the place where players go if they're not going to be a first-round pick out of high school. You go, okay, I'll go to college and try to establish myself, and you get some great players out of there. But I think that, in a way, you know, NCAA football and basketball kind of serves as the minor leagues, so that when the Wolves draft Karl Anthony Towns, he's played a full season at the highest possible level under the NBA, and then he just jumps into the NBA, whereas where the Twins drafted Byron Buxton, he had been playing, you know, rural high school baseball in Georgia, and even for a high school player, he was considered kind of raw, so he goes to rookie ball, he goes to single, he goes to triple. Now, that doesn't forgive or explain why, once he does reach the majors, he struggled so much. I think injuries have a lot to do with it, because, I mean, he was great in the minors at every stop. He hit 300, he had power, and we've seen that sporadically in the majors. In 2017, we saw it in the second half, but he just hasn't been able to keep it going for more than like 6 weeks at a time. And last year was just a completely lost year because he had migraine headaches and then he broke his toe. And then come September, they just thought, no, we'll suppress his service time and just keep him in the minors.
Well, and I've always thought, John, with Byron, that they've messed with his head a little too often. It seems like they're trying to change his swing in the middle of the seasons. And I saw something, I believe, in the Star Tribune or the Athletic within the last month. Quotes from Byron just pretty much saying, I'm doing it my way this year. I mean, yeah. I'll take coaching. I'm a coachable guy, but I'm going to do it the way I feel comfortable. And to me, I saw that story, and I thought, amen. If you got a guy with just raw talent, like you guys know for playing baseball, like you can't be going up there thinking too much. Right. We know it in golf. Like you got, and if you're sitting there thinking about your mechanics and thinking about your swing, where I've got this elbow and where I got this leg and what I'm doing with my leg kick, to me, I think that's a disaster. And I was glad to hear Byron just say, I'm taking control of my career and I'm doing what I want to do.
I think that's a good point. I think he should have an enormous chip on his shoulder. Right? I think if Byron Buxton would have had a crummy first 10 games of the season, which is what happened, and then gotten hurt and missed the rest of the season and then gotten screwed at the end by a service time non-call-up, I think our expectations for him this year would have been much higher. I mean, sort of like, let's give the guy a mulligan. Like, he had a bad injury at the beginning of April. He missed the whole season. You know, this is the year that he should be building on the, you know, those remarkable last 2 to 3 months of 2017. Let's see what he's got, right? Instead, what happened is a series of things, all of which kind of, the Twins kind of screwed him on, you know? I mean,
yeah.
First of all, he was sent down for migraines, right? He had migraines for a couple of days, right when they were in the middle of not playing a whole bunch of games. Like, they easily could have kept him out there to, you know, 2-3 days to not have been sent down. While he was down there, he fouls a ball off his toe and breaks the toe. Then they want him to come back early. He tries to rush back early. He stinks because he's a speed guy and he's got a broken toe that isn't fully healed, right? So now everybody thinks, boy, he stinks because, he had a terrible May. Well, he had a terrible May because he's playing on a broken toe, right? Then he finally, let's rest it. Let's get the toe healed. Finally does that, and then in service, then the beginning of September, when he's playing good ball again, and maybe he can build on September, they don't want him to become a free agent a year early, so they mess with him again. He should probably not be listening quite so much to what the Twins want from him all the time.
Yeah, that's a good point, and he did say that he was not happy about the service time.
Right.
And then Tennessee sent me a link to a story where the Padres, who, by the way, have decided we're going to spend money, they signed Machado, right?
Right, yep.
They also announced, we're not going to worry about service time. If a guy is worthy of playing with the big club we're bringing up, I think that's refreshing. Again, in the day and age where there is no salary cap.
It's one thing to say it.
And every, well, that's true. We'll see if it happens. But if they do go through with it, that in this day and age of no salary cap, and every owner is a multimillionaire, in most cases billionaires. It's a hobby. I don't think they should worry as much about the payroll as they do.
Well, they can change it in the collective bargaining agreement, so it's not an issue. There are changes they can make so that that stupid system kind of goes away, first of all. Second of all, I'll say this. Players Association is getting more and more worked up about this. There are more and more threats about them suing teams for doing something like this, for playing something like this, or trying to do some legal discourse among that it's violating the spirit of the CBA. And so my skeptical self says this is the Padres covering themselves for when they actually do screw somebody over. Okay. They say, hey, it's our public stance. We said it for a year. We're not going to do it. There's a real good reason for this. There's never a real good. The real good reason is they want to deny them free agency a year earlier.
But the White Sox, right. A few days before, the Padres called up Fernando Tatis, junior. That's who we're talking about, top five prospect in baseball. He's 20 years old. He's going to be their shortstop. The White Sox, about a week and a half earlier, had a top 10 prospect, sent him down to the minor leagues, even though he was ready, and everyone was complaining, you know, all the service time, they're going to call him up late April. And then about 3 days later, they announced a $43 million long-term deal with the guy, the 21-year-old that they just sent to the minor leagues.
An eight-year deal that takes him all the way through that free agency.
And funny, as soon as he puts his name on that contract, oh, now you're ready for the opening day roster. Because once they sign him long-term,
right.
There's no reason to suppress
it. Sure.
But that lays bare the entire motivation behind sending a guy like that down.
Well, speaking of the long-term contracts, I just saw today, and again, I'm not paying as close attention to the Twins or baseball as I once did. Did I see where Berríos is actually, they tried to sign him to a long, and he's been, no, thank you. Is that strange for players to do that, to say I'd rather not?
Well, it depends on the deal, right?
I mean,
the devil's in the details. You know, I'm sure if they gave him enough money on an eight-year guaranteed deal, but that's the whole point. The team doesn't want to guarantee that much money. They want to limit their risk on some of those back-end deals. So a lot of those later years of those contracts are, we've got a $1 million buyout. We don't have to actually pay you the $9 million that we'd owe you or that sort of thing. If you take a look at the players that the Twins did sign to long-term deals, which are Max Kepler and Jorge Polanco, those are extremely aggressive deals that benefit the team in a lot of ways. It's almost impossible for those contracts to not be a really good deal for the Twins, right? And it's not going to cripple them. So, you know, him turning down a deal might not be, I don't want a long-term deal. It might just be, yeah, I don't want that long-term deal.
Right, because so much of baseball, if you sign a young guy to a long-term deal, so much is what is his service time or how many years of experience does he have at the time of the deal? Like the White Sox example, they gave $43 million to a 21-year-old who had never even been in the majors. Well, he's getting $43 million. He's set for life, but then they get 8 years of him at a cheap deal. Whereas Berríos, he's already been an all-star. He's the best pitcher on the team. Even compared to someone like Kepler or Polanco, who have not quite proven as much, well, if they come to Berríos with $40 million, he says, well, I can just play one more season. I'll make the all-star team again, and then this time next year you're going to offer me $65 million.
Yeah, right.
And so it's all about how close are you to free agency, and then obviously how much have you established yourself as a legit star.
And Berríos is in sort of that sweet spot for making an aggressive offer to a player, because he's had 2 years of, for the first 3 years that you have of service time, you get paid basically the major league minimum. Right, and then after
he's
that,
getting like $620 this year, right?
Yeah, something like that. Which is still, listen, not bad cash, but it's like the major league minimum. It's not life changing cash. After 2 years, well, he's still looking at, like, if I blow out my elbow, something goes wrong, I've really only got that $620,000. They try to negotiate with him at this time next year. Well, he's already got his first year of arbitration ready to go. He's going to be making $4 million, $5 million maybe, if he ends up having a decent year this year, right? So, on the one hand, that's a good idea by them. Like, this is the time to get him before he has life-changing money. At this time next year, he'll already have $5 million tucked into his back pocket. And then it's sort of like, why am I signing a long-term deal with you guys? I've got the financial security I need for the rest of my life. Let's just play this thing out and see how it goes in 5 years. Maybe I'll be making $25 million in 3 years.
Well, then Berríos is one of the rare Twins players in which the Twins, as we know, don't like to spend a lot of money, particularly on big-name pitchers. They're trying to groom those pitchers. They don't want to sign a Verlander to 5 years, $150 million because of pitcher's arm, right? They're worried about that. So they hope to develop that. We've been waiting for that to happen forever. We had Santana, though. That was Rule 5, right. Is that what that was?
Yeah.
But still, it was more of a homegrown guy. That's kind of what they wait for, and that's probably why they want to get Rios in the fold now, because they feel they can get him for cheaper rather than having to go out and get an established arm.
And, I mean, you mentioned Santana. Think of how many, whether it was Matt Garza or Kyle Gibson the first time around.
Scott Baker.
Think of Kevin Slowey, all the names they've trotted through the rotation. Between Johan Santana and now Berríos, and Berríos isn't a Cy Young winner, but he's the top of the rotation type of guy with some upside, and it took them basically 15 years to develop that, and we were just talking about Buxton and Sano, how they haven't lived up to the hype. Berríos, more than anybody else over the last probably 8 years with the Twins, was a first-round pick, was a top 100 prospect, got to the majors quickly, he stunk a little bit right away, and then for the past 2 years has lived up to the hype and then some. And he's like, he stands out compared to everyone else in this organization, unfortunately, as an example of, well, this is what happened when it goes right. And so I would, I think, make the argument, especially on this show, I know it's a friendly ear for this, that if you're going to offer him $44 million and he says that's not enough, offer him $54 million. There's no difference. For him, $10 million is life-changing. That's grandkids' money. That's great-grandkids' money. For the Twins, that's $2 million bucks a year over 5 years.
Right.
That's what they pay a bench player or a middle reliever.
Also because you take a look at the rest of that rotation at the end of this year. Gibson's a free agent. Odorizzi's a free agent. Michael Pineda's a free agent. Petit, they could have an underneath an option here, but he could be a free agent as well. Like, I don't know what the rotation looks like in 2020.
Sure.
This is the year to do.
Speaking of Berríos, apparently he has a second curveball now. Can you explain how you have two curveballs?
Well, so this is the Twins have a new manager, obviously, Rocco Baldelli, but they have a new pitching coach from the college ranks named Wes Johnson. Jeremy Hefner replaced Eddie Guardado as the bullpen coach. They got all these analytics guys. They got all this technology that they've spent a bunch of money on, relatively speaking. Their whole focus is, I mean, clearly they didn't invest anything on the pitching side in free agency.
Correct.
But they feel like between the coaching and the analytics and the technology, we can help some of these mid-level guys that are kind of underwhelming play up. And then with Berríos, is already a really good pitcher. And they feel like they can kind of design his repertoire of pitches in a better way. In other words, you know, kind of what we were talking about with throwing curveballs more, the Astros are doing that. They can say to Berríos, you know, you get kind of good movement when you tweak this or tweak that. Throw this kind of second breaking ball instead of the one you traditionally throw. And instead of relying on, well, we got to see you do it for a month and we'll see if they bash your head in the majors, they can track it with technology and say, well, it breaks X amount and it dives X amount and it's X velocity. And pitches like that across baseball are really hard to hit. And so they can kind of design a new pitcher from scratch or at least kind of build onto a foundation. And that's only possible over the last, you know, 6 or 8 years because baseball, more than every other sport, tracks everything.
Everybody's focusing on the change at the manager, and rightly so. It's an important change, right? But the change at the pitching coach level is a much more significant, a much more radical departure. Nobody hires a college coach to be their major league baseball pitching coach.
Right.
It'll be very interesting. There's certainly a lot of excitement, maybe like a kumbaya feeling down in spring training about the whole pitching side. Everybody's aligned. Everybody's working through these things. We're going to improve all these things. We're going to give Steven Gonsalves a couple extra miles per hour in his fastball because we know this little thing. We're going to develop a new curveball for Jose Berríos. We got all these little things that we're going to do. That's great. Everybody's got a plan until they get punched in the nose. Right? Opening day starts. Now we get to really see how this all works.
Speaking of something that's never happened before, I saw this note. I thought this was interesting. This is the first year in I think any of the major four sports that there isn't a player on the roster who played in the 20th century. Did you see that note?
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, because Bartolo Colon is not, but he's not on a team.
Right, Colon and somebody else not. So it's the first time in any of the major four sports.
That's depressing.
That someone that did not play in the 20th century is not on a roster.
Well,
isn't that amazing?
I mean, that's how I track how old I am, which is I'm 36 now. You look at the list, you know, you sort reverse of date of birth, and I'm down to like, Yeah, 12 guys who are older than me. Like,
right.
And he, I mean, he stopped.
A long time ago. I think Terry Jamie Mulholland Moyer. Moyer was one of my
last. But I thought that was interesting. As they say, time waits for no one, right? Hey, we got one last segment with you guys. I want to get your thoughts on what you think the Twins will do this year. I think Tenneby has another question or two. We'll take a short break. Remember, stop on down between now and just before 2:30. You can get registered with a picture on Twitter.
We have a photo booth in the back here. Get your picture taken, hashtag KFAN Twins, and we'll pick three winners.
We'll pick three winners. Two winners will win pairs of tickets to today's Twins game. Really nice seats. And also haircuts for a year from Supercut. So stop on by and register. We're broadcasting live from Brothers for the Twins season and home opener right here on The Fan.
The Common Man.
Who cares about Common? Common is boring. It's Common.
Weekdays at noon on The Fan.
Ash, happy.
You're listening to The Fan.
It's Kluber. That will be your pitching matchup again at Brothers. Common Man Tenneby and Gleeman the Geek sharing an hour with us here. Before I ask you the final question of this segment, which is going to be, what do you think about the Twins this year? What will happen? Tenneby is going to do what he calls his lightning round. Just a couple, three, four quick questions.
30 seconds to a minute on each answer. I'm always skeptical when I hear how long a player is going to be injured for the Twins because I feel like they get it wrong all the time. So that being said.
From regime to regime.
Jorge Polanco, arm fatigue, and Miguel Sano's right foot. Should we be concerned about either of these two?
Well, they'll clearly amputate Polanco's arm.
Sano will have gangrene before the
Twins. I actually believe would happen. I think Polanco, it sounds like he's fine, but I don't think we're going to see Sano in April. I would say if he's back in the lineup in mid-May, that should qualify as a success at this point.
Yeah, I would. I'm a little worried about the Polanco thing because I really think he's one of the wild cards that could, you know, have a breakthrough year. So it bums me out. It also worries me that that happens after Sano went down because Marwin Gonzalez was made to fill in for Polanco. If there's in the perfect world, what would have happened is Gonzalez steps in for a week, Polanco is fine. And we're good to go. Now we've already got Gonzalez being used over there at third base. So now, what, Astudillo at third, Gonzalez at short? Maybe that's the way they go on it. I don't know. We'll see. Yeah, I think if you're a Minnesota sports fan, you're always worried about the injury. Something always happens.
Michael Pineda has been out 21 months. What's a reasonable expectation for him as a starting pitcher?
Boy, I would say 20 starts.
I was going to say 130 innings.
Yeah, which is similar. When he's been healthy, he's been legit an all-star guy. Throws super hard, great slider. I mean, 6'8", huge guy. Looks like a, you know, offensive lineman. But the reason he was available on a kind of a 1+1 deal like they signed him to is because he just breaks down constantly. But that's why guys like Berríos and Gibson have to stay healthy at the top. Then whatever you get from Pineda as your third starter is kind of a bonus. But, yeah, I'd say 20
starts. He's a legit number three, maybe number two pitcher. It's just whether or not you're going to get him for 4 months or for 6 months. Yeah.
Max Kepler leading off. What do you think of that decision?
Well, it's a little bit what we were talking about. Once they lose Mauer and everyone they sign is kind of a free swinger, home run hitter, there isn't really anybody on the roster who's an on-base percentage, grind-out walks type of guy. Polanco, maybe, if he's playing well, but it sounds like he's going to bat second most days anyway, and Kepler at least draws walks. The reason Kepler hasn't really got on-base a lot is because he hits .230. Right. If he starts to hit .260, .270, .280, he's going to have a good on-base percentage. I think it's sort of correctly identifying the best option out of a group that is devoid of good options.
Yeah, there isn't a great option to be a leadoff. We mentioned that they're short on base percentage, and like you said, Kepler is at the very least patient, and I think they want him to develop into that type of hitter. So yeah, let's give him. Why not? I don't have a better answer for him.
Is it still? I know everything's changed with analytics and sabermetrics, and I can't keep up. But is it still you want your leadoff hitter to make a pitcher throw a lot of pitches?
And Kepler does that. Okay. I mean, Kepler isn't a free swinger. I mean, this is a guy who's got good power and good patience. It's just that it's hard to recognize either when you're hitting 230.
I mean, the best case scenario is always going to be the Brian Dozier, Jock Jones, just hit the leadoff home run.
Oh, yeah.
But the second best scenario is what you described, which is draw like a 13-pitch walk so that you're on first base, there's no outs, and the pitcher is already like, this is a mess of an inning.
Buxton eventually is going to be the leadoff if he lives up to expectations.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, isn't he the prototypical leadoff hitter or not?
70s, 80s, 90s, he'd be batting leadoff because he's so fast. That was the number one prerequisite for a leadoff hitter for 40 years or 50 years.
But not anymore?
Is he fast? But if you're going to make an out 80% or 70% of the time...
The question is whether he gets on base enough. He's got enough patience to really be that guy. Even now, he's certainly been a free swinger, and he's also got a fair amount of power. He's not afraid to be aggressive early in the count.
But yes, he would be the ideal leadoff guy if he can draw any kind of walks and have any kind of consistency as a batter.
Final lightning round question before we turn it back over to Common. Common and I have been on the same page in terms of thinking the closer position is the most overrated position in baseball. Yes. That being said, it's a topic that's being thrown out there all the time. So, A, who's the closer? Do they need to have a set closer? And B, I guess just overall impressions of the bullpen.
They're not going to have a set closer, it sounds like. I think the best bet to lead the team in saves is probably either Trevor May, maybe Blake Parker, but it might only be 18, 20 saves instead of 40, 45 saves. I agree with you guys completely. Like, that is something that started maybe 8 or 10 years ago, and now I would say half the teams, including the Twins, say, why are we holding the guy back to pitch the final inning with a 3-run lead when we use a lesser guy to pitch in a tie game in the 7th inning or the 8th inning? Like, why? It seems backward, and I think teams are starting to come around to that. Now, with that said, being flexible and being new school and using analytics, it's not going to help you if the pitchers don't pitch well. Their bullpen options are not great. I think there's the potential for Baldelli and the pitching coach to mix and match and get the most out of them. But on the other hand, it's a rookie manager, it's a pitching coach from college, and they don't have the greatest, they don't have the greatest artillery at their disposal.
The bullpen was already thin to begin with. They've already lost 3 of them. Right, 2 of them are hurt. 1 of them got sent down because he was a miss. I think Trevor May will probably be the guy you'll probably see with the most saves. I wouldn't be shocked if it is an ongoing struggle throughout the year, and as part of that ongoing struggle, they do fall back into some more of a traditional usage.
Right, because here's what will happen. As soon as... It's fine to mix and match and have a different guy pitch the ninth
inning. As
long as it works.
Right.
They blow back-to-back saves, both newspapers will have a column about, oh, my God, these new school jokers, what do they think they're doing? You got to have a set closer. You need a Mariano Rivera or a Dennis Eckersley. And
if it works once, then they got to try it again, right? So I wouldn't be shocked if it does fall back into a more traditional piece just because I'm not sure anything's going to work.
With this last hour of discussion we have, analyzing players, analyzing new managers and pitching coaches and such, we know best case and worst case. Best case is they win a division, right?
Right.
Worst case, they finish dead last. But what do you guys think, each of you, will probably happen to the Twins this year? What is your gut tell?
They'll be second place in the division. I think they'll be second place in the division. I don't think there's a real good... I think there's an 80 to 90% chance they are second place in the division, right? The question is, how seriously are they in the wild card race, right? You take a look at sort of even the Vegas stratification of over-under numbers. Now, 4 teams have 90-plus wins sitting out there. Then there's a break. Then there's 40 teams between, like, 80 and 85 wins. And then there's 7 teams below that, like, 75 wins and under, right? So you're basically competing with 4 teams for that second wild card spot. The first wild card spot is going to be the loser of the Yankees Red Sox, right?
Right.
That gives them the Angels, the A's, the Rays, and the Twins. I am hopeful. I think the Twins are as well positioned amongst those 4 teams as almost any of them. I would say a mid-80s win total, and hopefully a competitive run for the wild card spot. I don't know if they'll get it.
I think it's an 85 win team. I think 3 of the teams in the division, just like last year, are just awful. They're literally not trying to win games. You can get fat on that schedule a little bit in the wild card competition. I think there's a slightly higher chance that they can beat Cleveland for the division title than John does. But, Cleveland's clearly, 2/3 favorite, 75% favorite, something like that. But the wild card is a legit option. I think the Twins, it will only take 86, 88 wins to get it. The problem there is we already saw how that plays out 2 years ago, which is you get the second wild card spot, you're either going to Fenway
or you're going to Yankee Stadium.
Yeah.
And I would take Fenway at this point just because that nightmare I haven't seen before. I've seen plenty of the Yankee
Stadium. The other one's a recurring nightmare.
Right. Like, I know how that story ends. Maybe there's some chance. But, yeah, I mean, that is a pessimistic view of it. But I do think this is they're not going to finish lower than second place, in my opinion. And they have at least, you know, a 25-35% chance to be playing at least the wild card game.
I'd also just say, you know, if the difference is, we just said, you know, 84 to 88 wins, you take a look at their offseason and not being particularly aggressive and, in fact, dropping payroll, dropping $12 to $10 million worth of payroll, you can't help but think to yourself, those three or four wins that you could have picked up in free agency could be the difference.
Yeah.
And this team didn't do it. So they had better be right about this new wave pitching thing that they've got.
I cannot believe we made it to the end of a third segment before one of us complained. One of us four complained about the Twins payroll.
Right.
That was the over. The Vegas line on that was like 8 minutes into the first segment.
Gentlemen, I appreciate you hanging around for an hour. It was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed it. I hope you guys did too. Like to do it again throughout the season.
Absolutely.
Either of you solo or together, however you want to do it.
I like them together.
Yeah, I do too. But yeah. I'm saying if one can't make it, we have an emergency call because we need to find
They're
out.
They're available.
You put the bat signal on whichever one shows up first.
Beautiful. Love it. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
That's Gleeman and the Geek. You can hear them on Sundays.
During the baseball season. You guys start already this week?
No, we start on the 7th.
Okay.
And you got your podcast going on too, right?
GleamingInTheGeek.com.
Perfect.
You can also stop by TuesdayTaproomTours.com. We're going to be having events throughout the year. You can check out some of those too.
Very good. Thanks very much,
awesome.
Guys. We'll come back. And she's in the house.
Feminine Smoke Show.
The program. She's here. Lil B has arrived here at Brothers. She's next here on The Fan.
The Common Man.
You're the only guy I know that can take two parts of negativity and turn it into total positivity.
Weekdays at noon on The Fan. Fan.
Everybody in the club. This is a tradition for you to be here on the Common Man program at Brothers because you always go to the Twins home opener.
Every year with my gal pals.
Every year with the gal pals. You're going to do a little drankson today, do you think?
Have we met?
Yeah, that's true.
The gals over here already bought me one.
Right.
Nice.
I appreciate that.
Yeah. But I would be willing to guess the dranks in 2019 ain't like the dranks in back in 2009.
You would be correct.
We must be cutting out or something.
Well, we're not on the air.
I don't know if we are.
I hope we are.
Are we on the air back there?
Joel, are we on the air? Okay.
Oh, well, what's going on with the music? So anyway.
It's not like it was in 2009, but I still got it.
You still got it.
I would like that to be known.
Well, no, you've got it when it comes to the looks. I'm talking about you probably, instead of having a couple 13, 14, you probably only have a couple 3, 4, or do you still push 13, 14?
Well, I don't know who's keeping score. Oh, apparently it's you, but I could still do it.
I
pace myself a little better than I
Well, it sounds like the change you've made is you used to have guys buy you drinks, now you got gals buying you drinks.
I'd take it from a guy, too. It's fine. Yeah. We're all pals.
Drankson. Now, what would be your Drankson of choice for the ball game? Are you a beer gal?
Yeah,
we're
going to be doing beers. Yeah. I got the Mick Golden when I rolled in.
Yeah, the Mick Golden when you rolled in.
Yeah.
If you were going to the ballet,
and Budweiser, of course.
It'd probably be like
a Cabernet.
A Chablis or a Cabernet.
Right.
Right.
The Cabernet is huge.
Yeah. Yeah. I would think it's just it's whatever event you're at, it's got to be different.
Yeah.
You know,
well, you don't want to look ridiculous.
And if you're going to Wee Fest, you'd have a shot of bar whiskey, right?
Hell yeah.
Yeah, hell yeah. That's what you do. When was the last time you were at Wee Fest?
2009. It's been a long time.
Were you a Wee Fest gal?
No, I always worked Wee Fest
right.
for K102.
Right.
And I was more of a, when we were done working, go back to the hotel and drink at the bar, not in the campground with the disasters. I'm a lady.
Right.
We've established this.
And it's a disaster, isn't it?
It's a fun disaster.
Right.
But I would just rather be at the hotel.
Well,
bar.
Now, how many people, staff members, work Wee Fest for K102?
So usually like four to five.
Four or five.
And then the jocks come up because they kind of work the stage over the weekend. So Mus and I were like, all right, it's been real. Hotel bar, karaoke.
Right. Now let me ask you this.
Yeah.
What are the accommodations? Are they actually, does the staff have to camp out there?
No. Hotel.
Everybody?
Yeah.
Oh, everybody. Not just the
hotel.
Big shots like you and Mus, but everybody.
Hotel.
Okay.
Because that, you want to be able to shower.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That
away.
Would be, for me, that would be the not going to work for me if they said, you got to work Wee Fest for 3 days and you're staying in a camper with three other people. No, not going to work.
Not going to work.
No, not going to work.
I've got a secret I've been keeping from you.
Uh-oh. Oh, really? Let me guess. You've admired me from afar and near.
All right. Keep it in your pants.
Another bun in the oven?
No. I just had a McGolden.
Another bun in the oven!
Yeah!
I'll never do it again. I'm going to the Masters.
Oh, you are?
Yeah.
Yeah. When are you
going? My anniversary, my husband's taking me to the Masters.
And she was bitter about it the other day.
No.
And I'm like,
I'm not bitter. Here's the deal.
Like, you get to go to the Masters.
Your anniversary gift is him going to the Masters.
Right. See how I win? So here, I'm not bitter. Let me be clear. So you talked me into this. So we're going to, because you have to do the lottery bid for tickets.
Yeah, right.
We're going to the practice day on Wednesday.
Wednesday practice round.
Which I'm told is just as good as getting tickets to the tournament, but
it's
you can
better.
See more. And you can see everybody. Yeah. You can move around. So
and the par 3 tournament is that day.
And then there's Hootie's doing a concert the night before, so I think I'm going to work out tickets for that. Like,
who's doing the concert?
Hootie.
Hootie and the Blowfish.
Nice.
Well, so I think it's going to be Darius, who is Hootie, but he also does country.
Right.
So he's Darius.
He does a song called Wagon Wheel.
Yeah, it's a great
That's
song.
A great tune.
It is a great tune.
Yeah.
But
Only Want to Be With You.
Oh, great song.
Yeah. Hold My Hand.
So here's, but have you ever been?
When is that concert?
It's the day before the practice.
I'm gonna have to miss it. Unfortunate break for me. I've been to the Masters the first year. It's been so long. It was the first year Tiger won. I was there in 2000. Is that 2000 or 2001? Whatever year Tiger won, that's when I was there for practice
he's won
round.
Multiple years.
For a Tuesday, but the first year he won. I'm saying it was either 2000
wasn't it
or
like
2001.
98?
Was it really? Maybe it was 97, 98 that was there then. Well, whatever the first year he won the Masters.
The one he ran away with the field, like as a rookie.
Right.
Whatever year I went was the first year he won the Masters, and I was there for the Tuesday practice run.
Okay. And I'm happy to go. I think it's going to be great. But we're going to be there for like 4 days. So at some point, Mama's going to need a steak. I'm going to need the Cabernet.
Yeah.
Like, what's there to do around there? Because I've done a little research.
Hit balls at the local driveway.
Right. See, I'm happy to go to the Masters and do the Masters stuff, but I also want to be able to go do stuff that I like to do.
And you're probably not going to get invited to the Champions dinner at Butler Cabin. That's probably not going to happen.
No.
Probably not.
No.
So I need to know what I'm supposed to do there. So if you guys know.
Well, there's a golf course right next to it. The property right next to it.
I feel like you're not listening to the things I'm saying.
Oh.
I need the dinner, and I need some wine.
I don't think there is anything to do
right.
in Augusta.
But so where do you have to drive to?
Atlanta.
Right.
Good luck.
How far a drive is that?
It's like an hour.
About an hour.
Oh,
yeah.
That's fine.
Yeah. I mean, when I went, it was my brother and I, along with Dodger and Simple Man. And they got the tickets. So Simple Man and Dodger took the practice round tickets for Monday. My brother and I played golf at a Tom Weisskopf course in the area on Monday. Then Tuesday, we got the practice round tickets, and they went and played golf. And then we went back, so we didn't spend 4 days. So I don't know. You're on your own there.
I mean, I guarantee you my husband is Googling golf courses as we speak. but like, I think the Masters is great, and I'm happy to do it. But I just need a little something else to do outside of all of the golf.
What number anniversary is this?
That's a great question. Seven? Question mark?
So, you don't do the Masters for the 10th, though. He knows that, right?
I hope so.
He knows you're not doing something golf-related for the 10th, right?
I
the
10th hope so.
Is the double-digit one. That's where you go somewhere like...
We might do Hawaii for our 10th.
Right. Like, yeah. I need beach and spa.
Yeah. Not Butler Cabin.
Right.
And $2 cheese sandwiches.
And we've talked about it. I'm low maintenance. But in a while, I need to be wined and dined just a little bit.
Right.
That's all I ask for. It's not a lot.
Now, where are you? Are you Champions Club here? Or are you Club?
I'm going to be totally honest with you.
Yeah.
We just buy the cheapest tickets we can find.
Right.
And we go in.
Nothing wrong with that.
Probably sit in our seats for a couple innings. And then... We head to the bar inside.
We head to the bar inside.
Because it's kind of like an annual meeting place. We see people that we haven't seen for a while. We still watch the game on the TV.
Right.
We take the tour,
Do you, not that you would ever act upon your animal magnetism impulses, but do you ever say, like, give a little wink to a guy and see if they're kind of...
No.
Well, don't... Because I know you still got it. We know you got
Thank
it. But
you.
Do you ever like to say, I'm just going to show them
no.
I got it.
No.
You don't do no...
No.
I thought all gals did innocuous, no real intention flirting. They don't?
No,
I thought
they,
all women.
They do sometimes. They
right.
don't do it as, it's probably at like a 5 on a scale of 1 to 10. It's like a 5.
Right.
They don't go like the best flirting they can do.
Right.
They go like 5 notches down.
Yeah.
Just to get a little spark.
Right. Just to get a, yeah.
You
well, that's
sparkle.
What I was wondering. I was just kind of wondering. I'm just trying to get inside your head of the smoke show from Glencoe. What else was I going to say? How are things going for the Power Trip Morning Show in Vegas? How did that go today?
I thought it was great.
Okay.
Zach Halvorsen.
Right.
We love him.
Yeah.
If you have not seen the videos of Zach Halvorsen, you need to follow KFAN on Insta. And you're welcome. Because that guy, who knew?
A little out of control.
Yeah.
Was he there?
First morning.
But
yeah,
in like
yeah.
a nice, in like a sweet way. I think he was just so happy to be there.
Right.
On Twitter, he said it was the best day of his life.
It was the best day of his life. And let's just say he was having drinks and they were calling him Zach Daniels.
So let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Does he now go to the top of the list of the iHeart Media employee in Vegas most likely to get into trouble?
No.
Because
No, he's too sweet for
that. I was talking about that in the restroom. Just now with a couple of the rubes, we thought it would be Creasel first,
yep.
Parrish second,
yeah.
yep.
Meat Sauce third.
I put Parrish first.
Oh, you put
you
Parrish
would?
First?
You flip him?
Yeah.
So you think he's got the...
I think
yeah.
he's first.
Okay. And now, so Halvorsen, but despite the fact you don't put him up on that
no,
list,
no,
he's
no,
not
no,
in
no,
the same
no.
category.
No, 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 he's too sweet.
All right.
He'll just get tired and go to bed.
over, under... How many innings will you actually be in the stadium?
1.5.
That's it? And you're
yeah.
donezo?
Well, I mean, I'll still watch it on the
team. No, but I mean that you leave Target
that,
Field
that
you're
I,
gone.
No,
that
we stay
Lil
in.
Lil B has left the
we
building.
We stay in Target Field until the game is over.
Oh, you do?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God.
I'm
just not watching the game.
I'm watching it on the TV.
I've not seen the end of a sporting event in 25 years. I could never stay to the end. I'm one of those, I like beating traffic. I like beating the crowds. It wouldn't matter. Now, if it was game 7, greatest of, I'd probably hang to the end. But
first you know what?
Game
I didn't drive
season.
Down, so I don't have to.
Oh,
I
yeah,
just,
yeah.
It's fine.
All right.
Question for you. Maybe a little bit off topic, but you talk about beating traffic.
Yeah.
What do you think of people that start beating traffic while at church? Right? Like the pastor starts to wrap it up and
you know
the final prayer is coming and then everyone starts putting their coats on
yeah.
while he's talking. I'm like, this makes me uncomfortable. Like just sit for 20 seconds.
It's the coat shuffle.
At our church, there's always one last hymn, right?
Yeah.
To wrap it
uh-huh.
up before organist guy then goes into some kind of a, he goes into a riff, you know, a
yeah.
solo as people
yeah.
are getting out. But yeah, I've seen the people when they're in the last verse of the last hymn. They're headed out the door.
I see it first verse. The second the organ kicks in, the coats are going on.
Oh, yeah.
And the kids are out the door.
Yeah. Well, I always hang to the end because I like to. Pastor John's like a stand-up comic. He's got a lot of funny material.
Mm-hmm.
So I talked to him afterwards, one comic to another. We kind of critique each other's act. So I always verbally slap him on the back and touch the hem of his garment, that robe that he wears.
Right,
so,
right.
Well, you have fun in there. Thanks for stopping by. Are you still going to make an appearance for tomorrow?
Yeah,
oh, good.
Be in tomorrow.
Okay, very good. Enjoy the game and have fun.
Thanks,
stay
guys.
Out of trouble. Lil B, Feminine Touch of the program. We'll take a short break. We'll come back. 534 is next, Kennedy.
Yeah, some residents of Apple Valley are in a pickle.
The Common Man.
It's nice to have 2 hours during the day where I can listen to someone with common sense and someone with intellect level that you give me on a day-to-day basis.
Weekdays at noon on The Fan. Fan.
Bunt or a pop infield fly rule, a can of corn away from the goose that laid the golden egg. We're broadcasting live because the Twins season and home opener is hour away, Tennessee, roughly, a little over an hour away. First pitch scheduled for 3:10, Barrios versus Kluber. If you are on your way here, you're in your vehicle and you're listening right now, and you want an opportunity to upgrade your tickets or maybe win haircuts for a year from Supercuts, drop on by Brothers. Explain how that. I still don't understand it because I'm technologically inept, but
there's a photo booth in the back on the north side of the bar. Get your picture taken. You go on Twitter, use the hashtag KFANTwins, and then you are now eligible to win one of three prizes. Two of them are pairs of tickets to the Minnesota Twins game.
Today. And today's game. Good seats, too.
Third prize is haircuts for a year at Supercuts.
Which one would you choose if you won? I think the haircuts, no offense to the Twins, haircuts for a year.
The haircuts more value.
Yeah.
Because I believe it's like $250 worth of haircuts.
Yeah. Because most people get the haircuts every 6 to 8 weeks. I mean, that's not everybody, but 6 to 8 weeks, so that's probably what they do. So, yeah. So, anyways, so come on down and visit us.
And we'll announce those right before 2:30, so you got about a half hour.
I know that when people hear the sounder for 534, they're going to think it's 1 o'clock. I want to set you straight. We had Gleeman in the Geek on from 12:30 until 1:30 today. Little B, 1:30 to 2. So we've shifted our schedule around. It is now time for 534.
Time now.
Time now for... Five questions. Well, actually three, but five sounds like more than four. Brought to you by Green Mill Restaurant and Bar.
Question number one.
We're coming!
Question number one.
Oh, we're on the air. I forgot.
Let's just do some Minnesota Twins predictions.
Okay.
Do you mind? All right. Your prediction for the Twins MVP for the 2019 season.
Does it have to be a player? Can it be their pitching coach?
Sure, you can go that route.
If the pitching coach is onto something with you, instead of towing the rubber with your toe, you tow it with your heel, your velocity's better, and this twin staff actually is somewhat professional, I would say he'd be your guy. But my guess, you know, I'd like, if you're a Twins fan, you're hoping it's Buxton, because that means he's finally at least approaching his potential. I think it's probably a better chance it'll be Rosario again, though.
Rosario.
I'm going to say Rosario. Yeah, he's a quality player, and I don't think he's a flash in the pan, so I think it's going to be Rosario.
All right, how about who do you think will be the biggest surprise on the Twins?
I think Rosario. No. For me, it's going to have to be, I think it's going to be one of the guys we acquired. Because every time the Twins acquire players, it's usually coming off of a year in which their productivity diminished from previous years, right? Those are the kind of guys we get. So those guys would include Cruz, Gonzalez, Scope, and
who Krohn. I wish his name was Shoop, but
and Krohn, or is it Krohn?
CJ Krohn.
Okay. I don't think Cruz will surprise us because he, of those guys, he's one of them that he was, even though his production was down in 2018 from 2017, it wasn't down a lot. So I think he's going to be quality. So I think it's going to be
question with him is his age. Was, you know, right. Just the year he drops off because you lose the father time.
I still think it's going to be if is it Crone or Cron?
Crone.
Crone. If Crone or Scope, I think they're the ones that have the best chance to have a surprise here, because I don't think either one is going to have, whoa, they're playing like they did in the thrilling days of yesteryear. I think they're both probably, they're starting on the downside of their career. So I think they have, for me, it would be one of those guys if they have a big year.
All right, who do you think will be the most disappointing player for the Twins this year?
Probably Rosario. I think Sano. Yeah, because for one, he's already going to miss time. Gleeman and the Geek thing maybe mid-May if we're lucky. So then you lose a month and a half of hopefully solid productivity.
Yeah. He probably gains weight by then.
He gains weight. Yeah. It's going to take him a while to get back into the swing of things, pardon the pun. And I just don't know if he's ever going to live up to his expectations. I think he's going to be the biggest disappointment. I really do.
Question number two.
Question number two.
We have four NCAA men's basketball games tonight in the West region in Anaheim. The number one seed Gonzaga will face number four seed Florida State. Number two seed Michigan will take on number three Texas Tech. In the South region in Louisville, number two Tennessee will face the number three seed Purdue. And the number one seed Virginia takes on the number 12 seed Oregon. So, Common, which of those four teams will be in the Elite Eight after tonight?
What's your question now?
Basically, who's going to win the four games? Gonzaga versus Florida State.
I think that's the best chance for the higher seed to lose. I think Florida
State.
That's
the upset alert right
there? Yeah, I'm going to take Florida State to win that game.
Michigan versus Texas Tech?
It's a 2 and a 3. I don't consider an upset. I think Texas Tech is going to win that game.
And then also 2 versus 3, Tennessee versus Purdue.
Boy, I think that has the chance to be the best game of the three. I want to say Tennessee, but I'm going to pick Boilermakers.
And then finally, the most lopsided in terms of seeding.
Yeah.
Number one, Virginia versus number 12, Oregon.
Now, is Virginia, they're the one that lost to the 16 last year, right?
They did. And they were flirting with the 16 in the opening
matchup.
It's
Gardner-Webb, yeah. Right? They got that albatross off from around their neck, won their next game to get there. So I don't know how much that played into their heads against Gardner-Webb, and you know that's why they struggled. Oregon, I don't know enough about them. I'll be honest, I watched a little of their game. I'm going to, with some trepidation, I'm gonna pick Virginia, but I don't know if I trust them. I still don't know if I trust them, but I'll take Virginia to win that game.
Question number three.
Question number three.
Some citizens of Apple Valley are at the center of a dispute with the city over the loud noises that are emanating from the pickleball courts nearby at a park. The city council will discuss sound abatement options today, along with modified hours and whether to study potential relocation of the courts. Yesterday, city officials met with some of the neighbors and another opponent about possible compromises. The city already set restrictions on afternoon and weekend play, requiring the use of a softer or quieter ball and a banned overhead lights that allow players to volley after dark. Officials also paid a firm to come up with sound abatement options, such as attaching sound barriers to fences. Common, what is the solution to the pickleball dispute in Apple Valley?
Well, first of all, here's what I'll tell you. I don't know if you know this, but when senior citizens are playing pickleball, it's cutthroat. Oh, I'm telling you. You've never seen anything like it. You think that in the NBA Finals? You think in the Stanley Cup Finals? You think, is it UFC or UCF?
UCF, Central Florida?
No.
Or UFC,
UFC. MMA? You think that's grueling and you think that's cutthroat? It's nothing like seniors playing pickleball. It's funny because I actually read the story. I stumbled across it. I thought it was.
Well, I texted it to you.
Oh, is that how I found
it?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And you don't respond to my texts anymore.
I didn't know I was supposed to respond to that. I thought I was just supposed to see it. I thought the comment section was more entertaining than the story itself. Did you read the comment section?
I did not.
The comment section was more entertaining. I don't know. I mean, you know, I guess the controversy is, what came first, chicken or the egg? Did those people live there before they started playing pickleball there? I can't remember. What were they doing before pickleball, though? There was another activity that they were doing, and I can't remember. It wasn't horseshoes, but it was something that they were doing there previously.
Tennis or something like that? Or?
I don't think it was. I don't remember what it was, but they changed it.
Okay.
But, yeah, I mean, I didn't know pickleball was that noisy and that distracting and that mature. And I didn't know it was, if I understood the story correctly, they're starting at sun up until midnight. It's that popular of an activity.
Apparently, pickleball is one of the fastest growing sports in Minnesota.
I wouldn't have known what it was until I saw some. They played at Lifetime in Woodbury on one of the basketball courts. I would relocate. I would, if it's that popular, can't they say, let's take some of our other space in the city and dedicate something to it that's further away from where people live? Because here's what I'll tell you. The first home I ever bought, I bought two homes now. First one was new construction. I had to sign a waiver, or not a waiver, but I mean, I had to sign a document that said I was aware that the Bielenberg Fields were within earshot and that at night that you can see light pollution. We want you to know that because we don't want you later on going, it's too noisy from those softball and those baseball and those soccer games. You know they exist. And so what's interesting is it never bothered me from where I was because the noise was so faint I was far enough away and the lights didn't bother me. But I can understand that if you're right across the street from those fields where, well, the Vikings had the issue with the new Winter Park, remember? They had their lights on 24 hours a day. People in Eagan said, whoa, 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 whoa. It's like living in, it's like broad daylight. So I think the neighbors there have a beef. I really do. And I think that the city should find a new place for them.
I didn't realize it was that loud. So you know how you did the sack race when you were younger and then all of a sudden they took that away from you? Not exactly the same, but I played pickleball once in my life. That was in high school gym class. We did it like a bracket-style tournament with teams. We played teams pickleball. And let's just say I'm undefeated at pickleball. I'm a champion. I've never lost in my pickleball career.
You are to pickleball what Lil B is to arm wrestling.
Exactly the same. We ended up facing the actual gym teacher played against us in the championship game, and he tried as hard as he could, by the way, which is kind of funny.
He was a sweaty try-hard.
If I would have known, you know, 20 years later pickleball would be this huge, I would have stuck with it. I could have been, you know, maybe it'll be in like the Olympics someday. I could have been an Olympian. I'm undefeated. I've never lost.
And you could be chastised by the residents of Apple Valley that live near your pickleball park.
Yeah, I would have moved to Apple Valley. I would have relocated so I could be by that court.
So I think the city should move it. Some of the comments were like, if you want peace and quiet, you know, these are people that are, they're having fun, they're staying active, what's wrong with you? But you know what? I'm sorry.
You know those big walls they build on the highways to keep the sound from the neighborhood? Just put one of those around the court.
They could do that as well. Absolutely.
Question number two.
I don't really have the NBA fast break music, but I'm just going to ask you three quick NBA questions, if that's okay.
Wolves are terrible, and I would have traded Wiggins when I had the chance.
Actually, four questions.
Okay.
Which NBA team should the Golden State Warriors fear the most in a playoff series?
They have nothing to fear but fear itself. You can use that anytime you want.
I like that one.
I would suppose the Rockets.
Houston?
I still think it's the Rockets. Yeah, I'll go with Houston. For no other reason than I think Houston, when they're playing their game, they're very good. So I'd say Houston.
With LeBron struggling this season, who is the best player in the world right now?
Baby brother Peter. I would say the Greek Freak.
Greek Freak? He's my favorite player.
Yeah, I would say the Greek Freak.
Him and Steph Curry.
Yep.
Are the LA Clippers for real?
I've not been paying close enough attention to the NBA or the LA Clippers to really provide you with a...
They're streaking.
What is that? What's the line we always make fun of about the PA and Wabi always say about an educated...
Forthright educated
to give
opinion.
You an educated and forthright opinion on the L.A. Clippers, but you know, I have no reason to doubt it. If you're playing this well late and you what they've won 13 of 14, I'll say that for real. I'll give them the benefit of the doubt. Why not?
And how many players would you take over Karl Anthony Towns right now? Because according to the Star Tribune today, basically Ryan Saunders has figured out how to work Karl Anthony Towns. They're using the analytics. They figured they found out where on the court he likes to shoot, where he wants the ball. They're increasing his usage.
Okay.
He's an all-world player right now because of Ryan Saunders.
Well,
are you saying top 10, top 15, top 30?
If you'll remember, I think when we had buckets, we allegedly had two top 15 players in buckets and Towns. So that means the people's opinions that I trust, the people I trust, those in the basketball community, probably all agreed with that. So I don't think he's done anything to remove himself from the top 15. And I don't think there's been this, the league has been inundated with players that have taken a big jump to knock him out of it. So I'll say top 15. I don't know top 10. Again, I'd have to sit and look at every player, their name. And, the thing about basketball, it's not just basketball, I guess, but, a lot of it has to do with what position a guy plays. I mean, it's hard to compare Steph Curry and Karl Anthony Towns
because
they're such different players, but I'd say,
and they're playing with different players, too.
Yeah, and they're playing with different players. But I would say he's certainly a top 15 player. Yes, I would think so.
That's it for five questions. If Joel could play the sponsored closer.
And that's it for today's edition of Five Questions. Brought to you by Green Mill Restaurant and Bar. Well, actually, three questions, but five sounds like more than four.
Two more segments to go from Brothers. We'll do a quick one next, and when we come back, going into the final segment, we'll give away our two pairs of Twins tickets and our haircuts for a year from Super Clips. That and so much more. It's the new and improved Common Man program live from Brothers downtown Minneapolis here on Da Fan.
Taking time away from his golf game to entertain the masses. Ow! Dan Cole, the Common Man on The Fan.
The Fan.
Fan.
Twins. It's their home opener, and it's also their season opener, which doesn't happen often because we're in the northern climes, as they say, Tennessee, but the weather's cooperated. Obviously, yesterday would have been even better, mid-60s. I think we're going to be, about 50 is expected
about
high?
50. Well, let me get you updated temperature
maybe,
for you.
Maybe low 50s. We might get fortunate, so not a bad game to take yourself
50 degrees and partly cloudy right now in the Twin Cities.
Take yourself out to the ball game. We'll be doing our giveaways momentarily.
Saturday will be a little. Do they have a game Saturday?
Yeah.
What are the 3-day? Is it today, Saturday, Sunday?
Yeah, it's today, Saturday, Sunday.
Saturday, high of 39. That one might be a little dicey.
We've been working together for, about 4 or 5 years now?
Something like that.
And in that 4 or 5 years, one thing I've learned about you is you love National Football League mock drafts.
You love
mocks more than anything.
Yeah.
My latest mock.
Nothing I love than guys who have no idea what they're talking about giving a mock draft that people then take literally.
With the 18th pick in the National Football League draft.
Let me guess, offensive lineman.
How did you know? It's somebody called Chris Lindstrom.
Chris Lindstrom.
He's from Boston College. That's where he played his ball. Senior, all it says is Minnesota brought in former Titan starter Josh Klein to fortify one guard spot.
Yeah.
And now Lindstrom takes over on the other side to provide much needed protection for Kirk Cousins. We talk, you and I, like every other talk show in the country always talks about, do you do best player available or do you do need? Almost every single general manager will tell you we draft best player available, right? I think in a lot of cases, what happens, and I think it happened with the Vikings with Treadwell, though I don't remember what they said, you know, post-draft, you know, after the first round is over and they talk to the general manager. But I think a lot of them will tell you that was the number one guy on her board. It just so happened it was at a position of need, right? And I think that's what will happen to the Vikings. I believe, unless there was the Randy Moss wide receiver scenario, but if unless there's somebody that really does, you just go, this guy is so good, right? They will take an offensive lineman and say he was the highest guy on our board, right?
Well, and they say that about all the draft. That's why I always laugh, right? They'll have, you know, in the third round, they'll take a guy and go, well, he was the highest rated guy on our board. That's what you're supposed to be doing in a draft. You're supposed to be drafting the guy that you have as the highest. If you're drafting the sixth highest rated guy on your board, that's a bad draft pick.
Correct.
So you don't need to justify your selection with saying, no, he was the highest on our draft board.
So now,
and the best, too, is this always happens. They're going to get someone in the fourth round who said, we had a second round grade on this one.
Right,
guy.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. As a matter of fact, we were about to trade.
No one else did.
As a matter of fact, we were about to trade up to get him, but we thought, well, no, let's just wait. He fell in our lap. So as we speak here at room 222 on March, what's the date today? 29th or 28th?
28th.
Almost a month away from the draft, will Pete Rozelle, the National Football League commissioner, say the Minnesota Vikings select Chris Lindstrom? What are the chances? What odds do you put at that Chris Lindstrom, that this guy for CBS Sports, whoever he is, has selected the guy the Vikings will take? What do you think that chance? What are the odds?
Well,
5%, 100%?
I'd say maybe 15%.
Yeah.
Because there's supposed to be a bunch of other offense. I mean, one, I couldn't tell you how good Chris Lindstrom is. Right. I've never seen him play in my life.
Neither is Meat Sauce.
That being said, for all I know, some team takes him before he gets 18, and we don't even have a shot at him.
Yeah, there you go.
But apparently there's a strength when it comes to offensive linemen. There should be multiple offensive linemen available. Of course, Zimmer just said the other day at the league meetings that we're kind of flexible, right? Like, as of right now, we need a guard. But if there's a good tackle we have available, we can always move Riley Reiff to guard. So we have some flexibility in that. We're not stuck with just one position. We can at least when it comes to guard or tackle, we can take the best one available as opposed to taking one for knee.
I saw, and I'm sure you saw it as well, I don't think we've talked about it. There is right now known demand. There might be somebody else that we don't know about that's not in an official NCAA pool. There is one perfect bracket that exists
right now.
He
was on Good Morning America or something like the other day.
Apparently, when I read the story, it's like he wasn't even going to fill one out because he had like the flu or something.
Yeah.
But he said, you know, I think I'll do it because my buddies are expecting it. It's been perfect to this point. I think I saw it's like a one in quintillion chance to get it completely right. It's never been done before. More than likely, this one won't either. But what do you think is greater? The chances that this guy will have a perfect bracket when they crown a champion in one shining moment, where the Vikings will select Chris Lindstrom with the 18th pick overall. I think there's a better chance he'll have a perfect bracket than the Vikings will take Chris Lindstrom. For what you said, something will happen. Somebody else will like Chris Lindstrom, and they'll draft him. He won't even be around available.
Yeah.
That's what I think.
I have a better chance of hitting the Powerball, I think, than him finishing off his perfect.
You weren't the one that won the Powerball.
No, but somebody in Minnesota did win the $2 million.
Right.
And I don't know if we've found out where. I haven't checked my ticket yet. So for all I know, I got $2 million in my wallet right now.
Did you buy it in Stillwater? Because they know it was bought in Stillwater.
It was on the east side of the cities.
If it wasn't Stillwater.
So they did find out it was Stillwater.
They didn't find out.
As of last night, they did not know.
It was Stillwater.
Well,
that's why people would. You know what?
I was about to have ladies all over me, and now you just blew it.
There is a possibility that I've actually not won the big lottery, but that I've won other money. But I've never in my life, I'm serious, I never check. I don't buy them anymore now. Once my lucky numbers weren't possible anymore, the way they change what the Powerball number could be. But I would never check. All I waited for was to hear them say, and the winning Powerball ticket was bought in Woodbury. Okay, then I know it might be me. Otherwise, if they never announced it.
That's a massive mistake.
No, I know.
You could win hundreds of dollars. You could win the $100,000.
I bet I never did, though.
Probably not.
But anyway.
But I bet you've given away hundreds of dollars.
Could be. But I was waiting for them to say, and of course, though, there was a Powerball winner and it was bought in Woodbury. You're damn straight I'd have been checking it at that point. Are we ready for our giveaways? Do we have winners? How is that going
to
work?
Well, I'm waiting for our promotion staff to come over to us with the names.
Promotion staff, do we have winners? Have we figured that out yet?
The guy who's in charge of all this is not in sight.
The way social media works now, see, I'm not a big social media guy. I don't socialize much at all. But what I've noticed is we used to just draw names out of it. There used to be a box. Where people would just fill out a form and drop their name and you would draw names. Of course, it would take us about 45 minutes because you had to be present. And some names we would draw, the person wouldn't be there. But now we're doing it in a whole different way. Do we have winners?
How do we get names? Okay, come on. We got intermission music for about 2 minutes.
Oh, do we have winners?
He's going to go get them right now.
Oh, he's got winners right now. So he's going to get the people to bring them over?
I don't know.
All right.
You know, we're in the communication business.
And we don't communicate very well.
Not at all. It'd be nice if our promotions director wasn't in Las Vegas, as an example.
Why is he there? Is that just like a perk for him?
Got to promote the fan to the people of Las Vegas, apparently.
That's just a perk for him is all that is, right?
Oh, of course.
Right? Which is all right.
Well,
good for him.
It's a perk because he's probably organized the entire trip. Yeah. And, yeah, just give him a free trip out of it.
So good for Doc Donaldson. Yeah. But, yeah, I don't think it was really necessary that he was there. But you know what?
Do you want me to go through some Major League Baseball scores while we're waiting?
Did you know that it's possible no one will score on the New York Mets this year?
It is possible.
The New York Mets right now are winning 2-0 with one out in the bottom of the eighth inning in Washington.
Yeah.
What are the chances that the New York Metropolitans don't give up a run all year?
I'm taking the chance of having a perfect bracket is actually better than that.
Yeah, I think you're probably right.
Yeah.
So, 2-0 Metropolitans over Washington.
Yep. Yankees 6-2 over the Baltimore Orioles. Luke Voit hit a 3-run homer in the first inning. Also added an RBI walk. So 4 RBI for their designated hitter, Luke Voit. The Judge is 2-for-3 with 3 runs scored. Milwaukee has a 4-3 lead over St. Louis. They're in the bottom of the fifth there in Milwaukee. And the Philadelphia Phillies and Bryce Harper 1-0. Over the Atlanta Braves. They're early there in Philadelphia. Top of the second inning.
There is a chance the New York Yankees might not ever lose a game this year, right?
It's very possible.
Is that possibility.
Well, it seems like basically all the favorites in Major League Baseball are pretty much just the teams that did well last year.
Yeah.
Right? It's the same old... You already decided the winner. We're not announcing them.
We're not announcing. So we have 3 winners. Your names, please.
Jake and Abby.
And you guys won a pair of Twins tickets? And where did you get upgraded to?
I think like 6 rows behind the dugout.
6 rows behind the dugout! Congratulations, good for you.
All for using the hashtag KFANTwins.
That's all they had to do.
That's all they had to do, very simple.
And I think did we give away another pair of tickets?
We should be giving 2 pairs of tickets away and...
Oh, you're only giving 2 tickets total. Okay. How about the haircuts?
What about the supercuts? Did they get that too? What about the other one? We'll go to break.
We'll go to break because apparently the giveaways
this
that we
is
were turning told,
disaster.
This has disaster written all over. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We're broadcasting live from Brothers here in the Fan.
The Common Man.
I disagree with most everything you say, but I keep listening because, you're a pretty amicable person.
Weekdays at noon on The Fan. The Fan.
Segment at Brothers Bar and Grill. I think this is the 9th or 10th year, maybe 13th, 14th. The Tenneby and I broadcast live from Brothers. Just a hop, skip, and a jump or a sacrifice bunt or what do we call it? An infield fly rule away from the goose that laid the golden egg. We did find that other pair of tickets to give away, Tenneby.
Yeah, we did.
They were on my dashboard right outside of Brothers. Somebody broke the window and... Thank you, my boy. Enjoy the game. Somebody broke the window and put them on my dashboard. Tenneby, as the people begin to file out now, Brothers, to go to the game, because it's starting give me just a quick, as you glance around, how many people do you think are still in Brothers right now? Take a quick glance.
50?
Do you think that will be a larger number than there will be fans at the Twins' June 26th game against Tampa Bay?
Why is that?
Well, just because by then we're going to be woefully out.
Got it.
They'll probably be 24 games out of first place at that point, right? I think there'll be more people now at Brothers than there'll be at that game June 24th.
I think you might be right.
I know you
That's
don't.
Awfully negative.
I know you don't give the Twins a whole heck of a lot of thought, nor do I either. But I like it. You got your Rube shirt. Very cool. Yeah. What does it mean?
Oh, you don't know what it means?
It means we love you. Yeah. It's also the definition. The definition in the dictionary says an unsophisticated hick. But trust me, it's now for us at the radio station, it's a term of endearment. It means we love you.
It is.
I can't explain it any other way. So it means we like you. That's the truth, the whole truth, or at least some semblance of the truth. And girls do love big diamonds. Thanks for coming by. We appreciate that. We don't give the Twins much thought. We had Gleeman in the Geek on.
Yep.
I think the Geek brought second place.
Yes.
That they will win second place, but gave them virtually no chance of winning the division. Gleeman thought, what did he say, 25-35% chance of winning the division. That really, the best case scenario for the Twins would probably, though, be winning 85 or so games and hoping that's enough to get one of those wild card spots. And I think that's pretty spot on. I'm not just trying to steal their take. You know, they're obviously paying a lot more attention than you and I are. I'd like to be like Rosen did and pick them to win the division. It'd be fun. It'd be fun if they surprised people and exceeded even. It'd be nice if they would exceed even the lowest expectations, which is what? Just, you know, being a bit above 500. But if they could somehow, forget winning the division, but just qualify as a wild card. I know it's faint praise because you and I are both, I think, have gotten to the point where it's like, get to the Western Conference Finals, get back to me, get to the NFC Championship game, get to the Rose Bowl, get to the ALCS. But for your average Twins fan, I think securing a spot in postseason play even as a wild card to be considered a success, right?
Yes. Well, it is amazing how low the bar has been set, and I guess you could say this about all of our teams in this town for the most part, but it's been 8 years. Seven of the last 8 years have been close to disastrous, right? I mean, you had the 1 year, 2 years where you had the Molitor made the run, got to the postseason. But other than that, even, I guess, Molitor's first year was slightly above 500. But it's been, you know, approaching 100 lost seasons. Last year was a disappointment. The bar has been set so low that I feel like contending for a wild card spot will get people happy. And to me, that's still, at this point, on where we should be.
Correct.
Right? This is not year two of a rebuild here. This has been a long time coming with a rebuild. We were told that the core of these players are going to be stars by now. They have not become stars. We are in the weakest division in all of baseball, where three teams are basically gimmies. And let's face it, in Major League Baseball, they have such a lopsided schedule where we play all these teams 19 games. You should have a strong record just based on your division. Even Cleveland, while their starting rotation is really, really good, they're kind of down a little bit. They've already got some injuries with some of their position players. The fact that we're not even talking about, hey, our team should be contending for a division title at this point, to me is kind of saddening that our expectations have been lowered so much.
Well, and you brought up what could get lost in all this is, let's say they get a wild card spot, more than likely would be Boston or New York. It would be a three-game sweep, and they'd be done, though,
right?
Well,
it'd be a one-game.
One,
the wild card game is just a one-game play-in. It's a play-in game.
Play-in game.
Yeah.
So, but if they got to that point, it would be due more than likely in large part because they are in that weak division where the reason they won, let's say it was 85 games. Well, the reason they won 85 is because they were able to beat up on Kansas City, beat up on Chicago, and beat up on Detroit. And as you and I have said before, this is one of my favorite mantras, is it's, hey, It's not the Twins' fault that Detroit's a terrible team in a terrible city. Kansas City, ditto, and Chicago, I second that. That's not their fault. They're not responsible for putting their rosters together. But it would mean how much better would they really have gotten? You know, that's the thing. Would they have really gotten that much better if you throw them in another division? And bottom line is, I think every fan would like to think of all the fans that never experienced 87 or 91. I experienced both. The fans that have experienced that, it's a distant memory. And the ones that haven't, I trust you, it's fun. Trust me, it's cool. And even if you got that wild card in a weak division, I don't know if you could say they took a big step. You know, this is now we're in the mix to be a team that you can, they're in that conversation for being a World Series entrant kind of a club, you know?
Well, yeah, and I think people around here would just be happy if they're in the mix for a wild card spot, right? If they're in contention, right? It's the old Paul Allen playing meaningful games in August and September. I think that excites most of Twins territory. For me, it doesn't do a whole lot. And I thought Bonus brought up the point of, because of your weak division, because you think you have some guys that are going to have some rebound years and you have new coaching staff, they could be a game out of a wild card spot, and I think people go, oh, that's a successful season. But then I would also take what Bonus said of, well, yeah, you had plenty of money to spend in free agency, though, and could have gotten a starting pitcher, an ace out there.
You could have bought yourself a handful of wins.
That gets you an extra 3, 4, 5 wins, and all of a sudden you've now costed yourself a playoff spot because we wanted to be cheap and didn't want to spend money.
Well, and then
And don't give me the old, they spent more money in free agency than everyone. Well, it's because they cut so much salary to begin with. And they still didn't go after the big guys.
And the other thing that always sticks in the back of my mind is when they said, we need a new stadium to compete. We can't compete with the rest of it because we don't generate the kind of revenue that other stadiums do. We finally caved, helped them pay for the stadium. The first year they did contend. You know, now we got beat by the Yankees in 3, but we did win a division title. We look like we're on the cusp of maybe this is something that can be sustainable. We've got Mauerzy, we got Mernozzi, we've got Liriano, maybe, and we had a handful of other quality players. That was maybe this is the start of something that can be sustainable, and it wasn't. And since then, I think the numbers are out there. I read this, and unless I read it wrong, since the stadium opened, the Twins have the worst record combined. When you combine the records of all those seasons of all teams in Major League Baseball, it's like, well, I thought you said you were going to contend, and they really haven't spent the money. They've taken most of that money, and they pocketed it. Now, they'll claim now this year, well, we're investing a lot in the organization, in the sabermetrics, and getting those people, because they've hired a lot of people in those departments. That's fine, I guess. I mean, if you really believe that, even guys like you and me, particularly me, I think, so old school, it's taken me a little longer to buy into the sabermetrics and analytics thing, but I think there must be something to it, particularly if you push off the rubber with your heel rather than your toe, you got a chance to get better velocity. So if I'm going to buy into this whole thing,
Do you think our hitters need to start doing that when hitting?
Well,
because right when you kind of get on your toes a little bit, you go through your swing, you're kind of more on the front of your toes than you are the heels. Maybe we need to swing from our heels.
Well, a lot of times we look like we're back on our heels, so that's actually a problem. But you get my point the money still, the payroll, and they just have never really held up their end of the bargain, I don't think.
Never.
I just don't think.
Well, and I still remember that 2006 team is the best, to me, since 91, is the best Twins team I've seen. And unfortunately, they got destroyed with the Francisco Liriano injury in the middle of that season. But even then, you had Santana, you had Radke. I think Boof Bonser was having a solid season as a starter.
Boof.
They had an opportunity to go out and get a starter. You know, you got Santana in a playoff series. You can throw another, you know, a one or a two with them. And then all of a sudden, Radke's your third guy. You got yourself a chance.
Got a real chance.
And they had a good lineup. You know, Mauer and Morneau were in their primes at that time. Hunter was a good player. Kadir was a good player. And to me, that's the one thing I don't understand about the Polad pocket protectors is you don't want to spend big money. Look at all the teams that don't do well with money. I would forgive the Polads many a times if they don't spend money in certain seasons. I just, once every in a while, when you've got the team that's got the chance to take over the hump, that's when you do it. And when you don't do it then I'm going to rip you every time you don't spend money.
Yeah. And you know, whether this year is that year or not. I mean, even this year, you know, and I hate to back down on actually, like you say, almost giving them a pass on not spending money. But I think the place to really spend money is on the pitching staff, and they
yes.
don't want to do that. We talked
no.
about that with Gleeman and the Geek, is that they want homegrown pitching, which in a perfect world, that's what you would want. You'd rather homegrow your pitcher so you don't have to pay them for several years, 125 over five, but I just think that's the way the game is. We've seen teams do that. Houston's a prime example. I know bigger market, but no salary cap. And I saw, it's my favorite, and I saw what Houston did. They stripped it down to nothing, built it back up with the Altuves and a handful of other guys, and then when they were right there, when they said this is Age of Aquarius, they went and got Verlander, won a World Series, signed to an extension, and Houston's a contender again this year.
Well, you know what? You know, the reason they don't spend money on pitching is I think pitching out of any position is the most high-risk, high-reward.
It is,
right?
Absolutely.
There is some risk to it because if they throw out their shoulder or get Tommy John surgery, now you're going a year. Then they come back for the second year, and they're not fully strong, and you've now wasted years off of a high-money contract. But that's also where your biggest reward is.
Yeah.
The teams that are all winning the World Series all have studs at the top of their rotation.
And isn't the Pineda, is it Pineda?
Yeah.
Isn't he the guy? He didn't pitch at all last year, and he made no. $2 million.
He
now,
did.
You talk about a great gig. And now is it $8
million this year.
You know, and that's for the Twins.
They got him last year for this year.
Yeah, that's actually a lot of money. And you heard what Gleeman and the Geek said, and I think they're right. I mean, I trust him. You know, Pineda, he's got a chance. He's got the ability to be a really, really good
sure.
pitcher, but he has never stayed healthy.
If you gave him $8 million guaranteed knowing he was going to miss a season, I mean,
yeah.
you're expecting him to be a good pitcher.
So, but my guess is we'll be disappointed once again. I mean, it's
Mets won 2-0, by the way, so they are on pace to give up zero runs this season.
Is that, who started it? Is it Cinder?
Well, they got a couple good ones there. They got Syndergaard. They got DeGrom.
Yeah.
I can let
who
you know.
Who was it today?
It was DeGrom.
See. Cy Young Award winner last year, right?
Six shutout innings, 10 strikeouts, 5 hits.
Oh, so...
just one walk.
And then what... how did
Scherzer went with Washington. He gave up 2 runs in 7 2/3.
Yeah, and struck out 12.
That's a pretty good pitching matchup.
Yeah, I mean, and that's... those are the teams that I just take them more seriously. I just do, you know? I mean, I guess Berríos... you know, people still think that he has a chance to take that next step and be a number one, but I'm not sure.
All basically, he works harder than anybody else.
There's no question.
He's got the workout.
Other than that,
and he's got two curveballs now.
The only person that works harder is probably Meat Sauce and the host of the next show.
Yeah.
He's should introduce him to our audience. He's the Tasteless Box of Mashed Potatoes. He's JG. He's next. We thank the folks at Brothers. We thank Budweiser. We thank everybody that showed up today to listen into the show. Enjoy the rest of your day. We'll talk to you around 12 noon. As I say, hang around. JG's next. Right here, we affectionately call the Fan.
To listen back to a podcast of today's show, visit the Common Man channel on the iHeartRadio app or go to KFAN.com.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.